John chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. John 4 and 3, we're looking at the town of Sychar. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you will speak through this message. We long to hear from you, God. If you can't speak through me, I ask that you would speak in spite of me. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mother's Day and Father's Day and probably Christmas Eve, sometimes for a lot of pastors and preachers, those can be the most difficult messages to speak because everybody expects you to do, you know, on Easter Sunday, you normally don't preach out of the book of Leviticus, okay, because it's Easter. The same concept is true for these special Sundays like this, Mother's Day and Father's Day. People, you know, if you don't at least mention moms, everybody goes, I think he forgot it's Mother's Day. So, you know, you feel like you have to sort of do something. So I do want to speak that the person we're talking about in this story is a woman, but this is not a sermon that is specifically for women or just for moms or just for ladies. I think that you limit your audience when you do that and all the guys just check out and look at their phone for the next 30 minutes. So I don't want to do that. This is for everyone. Yes, it's Mother's Day, but there is eternal truths that everyone can get from this. So if you will, John chapter 4, and as we look back at verse 6, you're familiar. This is the story of the woman at the well. So he's in Samaria, Jesus. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The first thing that we know, that we see, that we notice about this woman is that she is by herself. She's all alone. She comes to the well all alone. So many of us go through this in our life. This woman is unnoticed. And so many of us are the unnoticed. The unnoticed, we feel like no one knows who we are, no one cares, no one is interested in us, no one knows who we are, no one knows our name. We're completely invisible to the world around us. We are completely unnoticed. She comes to the well by herself. No one else is there. No one is with her. No friends, no acquaintances. No one walks to the well together, gossiping on their way to the well, making their way from Sychar down to the well. No one. She's utterly and completely alone. So many of us feel like that is the way that we go through all of life. I'm going to assume that none of you have seen this movie, because as far as I can tell, me and my immediate family are the only people that like this movie and may possibly be the only people that have seen this movie. There was a movie that came out a number of years ago about, it was a silly little movie with a silly premise about superheroes, but they were like third-rate, fourth-rate, D-class superheroes. The name of the movie is called Mystery Men. I don't know if anybody in here has seen it except for my wife and my kids, but the idea is Mystery Men, and they're all terrible superheroes. They have terrible superhero attributes. One guy is named the Shoveler, and he just carries around a shovel. All right, this is the premise of the film, okay? They're just regular people that have decided they want to be superheroes. So they're trying to recruit other superheroes to their cause. And a kid calls them and says, "I can turn invisible." And they say, "This is amazing. You've got a real superhero trait. You're a real superhero." So they go to his house to see him. And they say, "Okay, can you turn invisible?" And he says, "Well, I can't do it if you're looking at me." And they say, "What?" And he says, "Yeah, I can't turn invisible if anybody looks at me." And they say, "Well, then how do you know you're invisible? Can you look down at yourself and see that you're invisible?" He says, "Oh, no, no. If I look at myself, I turn visible again." And they say, okay, so you can't look at yourself and no one else can look at you. They say, how do you know you're invisible? And kid says, because I go through my entire life and nobody ever says anything to me. So he said, I just assume I'm invisible. At the end of the film, he actually can turn invisible. But I think that's how so many of us go through our everyday existence. We feel completely unnoticed, unwanted, unknown, invisible to the rest of the world. Completely unnoticed. I want you to look over at Luke chapter 8. I usually read from the New King James, but I'm going to read from the NIV because I like the translation better here. This is when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. Luke 8 and 46. And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived that power had gone out from me. Someone touched me. Look at verse 47. Then the woman, this is the woman who had needed a miracle. She had touched Jesus. She had received her miracle. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, in the presence of Jesus, when you have a relationship with him, when you connect with Jesus, you can no longer go unnoticed. The rest of the world may not notice you, but Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. You are no longer unnoticed. You're no longer one of the unwashed masses. You're no longer in this multitude of humanity, and you feel like, you know, that's why everybody went to Cheers, right? Because that's where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. Don't act like you didn't watch Cheers. Everybody in the world's seen Cheers. That's why you go, because everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. But the problem is, not everybody knows your name, and very rarely are they glad you came. They're not excited to see you. So you feel unnoticed and invisible. And you go through life, and it just feels like one day after the next of nobody caring one bit about you. And you feel like, if I could turn invisible and disappear forever, would anybody even miss me? And I'm telling you, Jesus knows who you are. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed. In the presence of Jesus, you cannot go unnoticed. Jesus notices you. This one solitary, lonely woman comes to a well, and Jesus immediately notices her. You can never find a single instance in the Bible where Jesus blows somebody off, where Jesus ignores somebody, where Jesus doesn't have time. Jesus consistently and always makes eye contact. He listens. He sees what people are going through. And I'm telling you, he knows what you're facing today. You are not unnoticed. You are not unnoticed in the presence of God. Jesus knows who you are. He loves you. He cares about you. And you are noticed. This woman, unnamed, comes down a dusty road outside the town of Sychar by herself, carrying her water pot. And Jesus says, I see you, I notice you, and I'm going to speak into your life. A relationship with Jesus changes everything. Now, if you will, look back. I want to read John 4, 6, and 7 again. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour, in the way that the Jews reckon time, means about noon, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They reckon time by a 12-hour span, 12 hours of dark, 12 hours of light. So the sun comes up around 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that. So the sixth hour is going to be noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around there. What's wrong with this story? I'll tell you what's wrong with this story. Nobody gathers water at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The culture, this gathering of water is something that I'm inherently familiar with from all my time in Africa. To this day, most of the people in Africa live exactly the same way that the people in Jesus' time did. And you go up to these remote villages where I've been, and you stay in places with mud huts and straw roofs, which I've done. And I tell you, the first thing that every woman in the village does when the sun comes up is she goes and gets water. She goes and gets water for the day. She needs water for all the cooking and all the cleaning and all the washing and all the bathing. And the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning in Africa is you go and gather water from the well, which could be miles outside of the town that you live in. I can remember many times waking up as the sun comes up and you look out and these women have got these huge basins on their head, balanced on their head, empty. And they're going to come back from a walk to a well that's 1, 2, 3 miles away. They're going to bring those same basins back full of water, balanced on the top of their heads. Why did this woman come in the sixth hour? Why did she show up at noon or 1 o'clock? It's because she doesn't want to run into anybody else. Not only is she unnoticed, she is also unwanted. She is part of the unwanted. We learn later on probably the reason why she doesn't want to hang out with all the rest of the women at the same time at the well. Because Jesus says to her, you've been married 5 times, and the man that you're living with now isn't your husband. So she probably, let's be honest, doesn't want to put up with the stuff that the other women are going to say about her and to her. So she waits till everybody else has left the well, and then she comes at noon and gathers her water by herself. She's unwanted by the rest of the world. And yet, Jesus reveals his messiahship to her. We're not going to read it in this passage, but later on in this, they discuss, he says, give me a drink, and she says, you know, well, why should I give you a drink? You're a Jew. And he says, well, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. She says, well, why would I? You don't have a water pot. How would you give me water? He says, no, I speak of eternal water, eternal life. And then later on in John, he says to her, she says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. And he says, I am the Messiah. Why would he reveal his messiahship to a Samaritan woman living that's completely unnoticed and completely unwanted, living in Samaria? Why would he reveal himself to her first? It is because that he wants her to understand that as the Messiah, she is as valuable to him as anyone else in the story is. And you are as valuable to him as anyone else in this room is. I struggled with this sermon. I'll just be honest with you. I struggled with this sermon a little bit because Mother's Day is fun and happy and light and everybody's going to go out to eat and afterwards and give flowers for mom and everything like that. So I struggled with this one because, you know, it's not just a super kind of funny sermon, right? So everybody leaves and goes, man, that was nice. They gave me a gift card, but that sermon was kind of a downer, right? So I'm just being honest. If you've never preached on a regular basis, you don't understand what the struggle is. Well, on Saturday night, the struggle is, I don't want everybody to leave and go, man, that sermon was kind of a downer. But here's the deal. There are tons of people in this room that we love and care about, part of this community of faith. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about right here that feel unnoticed and unwanted. And I want you to know that Jesus notices you and you are wanted and valuable and important and loved by him. He reveals himself to this woman at this well. He says, I am. She says, I know Messiah is coming eventually. She's talking in vague theoretical terms, general terms. Yeah, I know Messiah is going to come. And Jesus says, I am. I am. The implication meaning, I am the Messiah for you. And he's the Messiah for each of you. He is, no matter how unnoticed you feel, no matter how unwanted you think you are, he is your Messiah. He came for you. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Peter is speaking. This is a sermon that Peter gave in Acts 10 and 34. Peter says this, then Peter opened his mouth. No one probably knew Jesus better than Peter. And Peter says this, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him, that is God, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by God. I perceive that God shows no partiality, that everyone who fears God and works righteousness is accepted by God. You feel unwanted. You feel unwanted by your so-called friends. You feel unwanted by family. You feel unwanted by workmates. You feel unwanted by the world. You may feel unwanted by this church. You may feel like nobody knows who I am. Nobody greets me. Nobody says hello. For that, I apologize. From the bottom of my heart, I apologize. But whether or not I know your name is not that important, because he knows your name. He is your Messiah, and you are wanted by him. You are wanted by him. God shows no partiality. He doesn't care what you've done or who you've been or the mistakes you've made or the dumb stuff you've done. You fear God and you work righteousness and you are accepted by him. You are noticed and you are wanted. You are wanted. Now, if you will, back to John chapter 4. As I said earlier, now we're going to read it. John 4 and 16. Jesus says to the woman, "Go and call your husband and come back," or "come here." The woman answers and says, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." This woman was unnoticed. This woman was unwanted. And finally, she was unloved. She felt unloved by the world around her. She was desperate to find love and attention. She was desperate to find affirmation. She was willing to jump from one relationship to the next in order to find that love and that acceptance that can only be found in the arms of our Savior. That can only be found in the arms of Jesus. Now, like I said, because it's Mother's Day and because I'm preaching about the woman on the well, I don't want anyone to think that this is simply just for women, that somehow that these three things that I've listed, being unnoticed, being unwanted, being unloved, is just for women. So let me share with you my story, a part of my story. I have shared my testimony numerous times from this stage. Most of you are aware of it. In my late teens and for much of my early 20s, I struggled with chemical addictions of all kinds, drugs and alcohol. I've shared that. What I've never shared, and I want to be honest with you in this moment, because this is, I don't want this to seem like I don't want to seem like I'm singling out women, saying they're the only ones that struggle with this. And two, I don't want you to think that this is only for women. The reason that I got high was because I didn't like who I was. I didn't like who I was. I had a lot of pain inside of me. Things that had happened to me. Things that had been done to me by other people. I had a lot of unresolved issues. I was angry. I didn't like how I looked. Can't tell it now because I'm in such good shape, but I was really, really a chubby little kid, and we had to shop at the Husky store, me and Mom. We'd have to, the Husky section, I think they eliminated that, you know, because of all the little kids that wanted to kill themselves, but I remember you go to Kmart to get jeans, and you can't get them in the regular boys section. I swear to you, this is true. Back in the day, there was a section called Husky. Oh, that's awful. And all my jeans came from the Husky section. I didn't like being husky. And I didn't like all the stuff that I couldn't deal with inside of me. I didn't like being unnoticed. I didn't like being the fat kid at the party. I didn't like being unwanted. I didn't like being unloved. Why I got high was because when I was high, I didn't feel like all the rest of that. When I got high, I felt like a different person. I wasn't me anymore. I didn't have to deal with that. And my pain went away. My anger went away. And my grief went away. And I felt like people wanted to be with me. I felt wanted. Mainly because I had drugs. So I felt wanted. I felt noticed and I felt loved, but it was temporary and it was fleeting. And the next morning when I'm hungover and I'm all alone again. The same stuff came back. It was not a permanent fix. It was a temporary Band-Aid. That's why I did that. And the only person that fixed how I felt, the only person that fixed feeling unwanted and feeling unnoticed and feeling unloved is Jesus. He's the only permanent solution to those kinds of problems. Everything else is temporary. And this woman had looked for it in every kind of a way. She'd looked for it in the arms of 6 different men, 5 ex-husbands, and living with a man that she's not married to now. Desperate for affection, desperate for love, desperate for admiration, desperate for someone to say, I love you. And we're never going to find that in these relationships. As much as I love Courtney, she cannot make me happy. She cannot make me happy. I do premarriage counseling all the time. And I ask this young couple, they're engaged, and I say to the girl, why do you want to get married? And she says, because he makes me happy. I'm like, no. First of all, no one can make you happy. Listen to me, no one can make you happy. And second of all, he doesn't want to make you happy. He wants you to make him happy. That's how it works. He's not thinking, yeah, I want to get married so I can make this girl happy. He wants to get married so she can make him happy. Listen to me, you cannot find eternal, everlasting, unfailing, unending love in any of these relationships. The only time we find love is here, is this relationship. I want to show you 2 verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm going to show you these back to back because they're 2 of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. They're pretty self-explanatory. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You feel unloved, and I say to you, God loved you so much that 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die for you. You're not unloved. You are loved by the greatest love in the universe. While you were still sinners, God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sins. And now 1 John chapter 4 and 10. 1 John 4 and 10. In this is love. Super explanatory, to the point. John tells us, in this is love. Not that we loved God. It's not about how much we love God. It's not about that. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. The propitiation means sacrifice. This is love. That he loved us so much that he sent his son as a sacrifice for me. Knowing what I would do. Knowing who I was, knowing how my mind worked, knowing the problems and the addictions and the temptations and the sin and everything else that I've done. This is love. He loved Travis and sent his son to be the sacrifice for my sins. Don't ever again say that you're unwanted, unnoticed, and unloved. You are wanted. You are noticed and you are loved. By Jesus Christ himself. And that is the only thing that matters. Now here's how I'm going to bring this to a close, because I want to show you what Jesus does when you have the relationship with him. I want you to turn back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 39. So Jesus tells her he's the Messiah. This woman runs back into town, says, I have met the Messiah. I've met this guy. He's told me everything I've ever done. And all the people in Sychar come back out to the well with this woman to encounter Jesus themselves, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And look what happens. John chapter 4 and verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman. Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Listen, when Jesus shows up, this is what's great. You are noticed, you are wanted, and you are loved. But when you enter into the relationship with Jesus, you're no longer the same person. He gives you a new life and a new destiny and a new purpose, and he sends you out. You don't enter broken, meet Jesus, and then leave broken again. That's what's so great. You don't just go, well, I've got all this stuff. Jesus, this is awful, and I feel unwanted, and no one loves me, and no one notices me, and I've got all these problems and issues, and I don't like who I am, and all this stuff. And Jesus says, well, it's nice to meet you, Travis. I'm so glad we got to have this little talk. I'm busy. I got a billion other people I got to talk to today, so I'm going to ask you to just go out the other door. And you go, okay, thanks, Jesus. And you go out, and you're the same person you were when you met him. That's not how it works at all. That's not how it works at all. This is the best part of this story, is those verses that are up there on the screen. She found her destiny and her purpose in the arms of her Messiah. She was no longer broken. She was no longer unwanted. She was no longer unnoticed or unloved. Look at this. The same woman who had to go to the well by herself at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because nobody wanted to talk to her, much less see her. Look at how her life has been transformed through a relationship with Jesus. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman. Not only is she now noticed and wanted and loved by Jesus, but she is noticed and wanted and loved by the world around her. That's how great it is. That's how wonderful it is. That the encounter with Jesus changes everything. The encounter with Jesus changes everything. One, he speaks into you. You are noticed. You are wanted and you are loved. But then he gives you a purpose and a destiny outside of yourself. And he says, now, go back into that town and tell the people what you've known and what you've learned about me. He doesn't leave you broken. Not only does he fix us, but he gives us purpose and destiny and a future and a reason. You are not unnoticed. You are not unwanted. And you are not unloved. I don't know what's happened to you in your past. I don't know what terrible things may have been done to you. I don't know what you've experienced or what you've struggled with or what you've gone through. I don't know how you've hurt other people. I don't know how you've been hurt by people. But listen to me. I can say this with complete assurity and with total and complete confidence. You are noticed by Jesus. You are wanted by Jesus. And you are loved by Jesus. That is pretty great news on Mother's Day. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you would simply finish this simple sermon in the hearts of every person here. No matter what anybody is struggling with, no matter what anybody is going through, right now, God, I ask that you would begin to speak to every person here. You are wanted. These are the words that God is saying to you, and I want you to take them into yourself, take them into your soul, into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit. These are the words that God is saying. God himself is speaking to you this morning, and he says, you are noticed. I see you. You're unique. You're special. I created you, and I know your name. You are noticed. The next thing he says to you is, you are wanted. I want you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to encounter me. I want us to have a personal relationship. I want us to have a friendship. I want you. You are wanted. You are not going through life alone, shunned by the community around you. You are wanted by God. And finally, so many of us struggle with this. We feel unloved, or we feel unworthy of the love that is offered to us. And I want to tell you something, you are unworthy, but God loves you anyway. Accept His love this morning. Accept His love this morning. You are loved. You are loved so much because He loved you so much that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. This is love, that God sent His Son to die for me as a sacrifice for my sins. You are loved. You are loved. Accept it, embrace it, hold on to it, and don't let go of it this morning. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you are loved. God Himself is saying to you, I love you. I love you. Don't run away from it. Don't try and find it in the affirmation and affection of others. The only true love is in the love of our Redeemer King, who is Jesus. When we enter into relationship with Him, that is when all of these earthly relationships change. God, I pray over every person here. God, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, help them to grasp and hold on to this simple truth this morning. You notice them. They are wanted by you, and you love them more than they could ever dream of or imagine. We are noticed. We are wanted, and we are loved. Thank you, God. Speak to every person here those simple truths this week. We are noticed, we are wanted, and we are loved. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen.